Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Today in the book of Romans chapter 1. That'll be our starting point and also the main text for this message. How many of you here are ready for this Thursday? Do you look forward to that? Yeah, I do. I know that. I look forward to Thanksgiving Day. It's just hard for me to believe it's here already. The year seems to have gone very quickly. But I know I'm looking forward to spending time with family and eating a lot of good food. Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever sat down at the Thanksgiving table and tasted something that just wasn't very good? Or have you ever asked, when looking at something that you may or may not think will be good, by the way, who made this? Because you wanted to know, not because it looked good or bad, but if you know that a certain person made it, it probably wouldn't be good or it would be good. So sometimes we ask that question too. I came across a story, and I thought this was neat. It was from actress Helen Hayes. And she was not, by her own admission, a very good cook. So she decided one Thanksgiving to cook her very first turkey. And before she brought it out to be served, she announced to her husband, Charles, and their son, James, she said, "Now I know this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. If it isn't right, I don't want anybody to say a word. Just get up from the table without comment and we'll go out to eat for dinner." So she goes into the kitchen. Of course, it was already cooked. A few minutes later, she goes out and she brings the turkey out. And there at the table was her husband and son wearing their coats and hats. She said, "I walked back around, went to the kitchen, and we went out to eat." Sometimes those things happen, but today we're so blessed, aren't we? We are blessed with good food, good restaurants, the means to be able to eat well, whether we're at home or someplace else. There is not a person in this room that should not be thankful for the blessings that God gives to us. For even if we're struggling financially, or if we're going through a period of sickness or another type of trial, and some of you may be going through those things right now, I want to remind you that our God is in control, and we should always show an attitude of gratitude. But let's be real for a moment. There are times when we seem to take things for granted, when we focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And yes, we do come into contact with people who seem to have what has been described as an attitude of entitlement. People who believe they are owed something by others. I read a story as told by one preacher about a very successful businessman who had set up a meeting with his brand new son-in-law. And they sat down to meet, and he said, "I want you to know that I love my daughter and I love you very much and I want to welcome you into our family." And he said, "Here's what I'm going to do for you." He said, "I am going to make you a 50-50 partner in my business. All you have to do is go down to the factory every day and learn the operations." Son-in-law interrupted. He said, "Oh, now wait a minute. Before you go on, I want you to know that I hate factories. I just can't stand the noise." "Well, I see," said the father-in-law. "Well, then you'll work in the office and you'll take charge of some of the operations there." "Well, now wait a minute," he said. "I hate office work. I can't stand being stuck behind a desk at all." The father-in-law looked at him and he said, "Now wait a minute. I just made you half owner of a money-making operation, but you don't like factories and you don't like working in an office. What am I going to do with you?" And son-in-law looked at his father-in-law and said, "That's easy. Buy me out." Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way too many people think today. People who show no gratefulness for the blessings that they have, show no thanks for the good things they're able to enjoy. We become so spoiled that when we don't get exactly what we want and exactly the way we want it, we're like this young son-in-law who asked to be bought out, or to put in another way, to get something for nothing. Could it be that we have been so blessed by God that we expect more and yet we forget to give proper thanks? I mean, as Christians, of all people in this world, we should be appreciative of what God has done for us. If we don't like being taken for granted, how do you think God feels about it? Could it be that the sin of ingratitude is a lot more serious than we might think? The text in Romans chapter 1 reveals this sin of ingratitude and just how bad it is in God's mind. We need to be reminded about this so that we can make sure that we never take the blessings of God for granted. So we're going to get into God's word on this subject in just a moment, but before we do, as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom, his understanding, his blessing as we open up his word for these few moments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all the many, many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. And Lord, this is a time of year when probably we think about that more than any other as we approach Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. And Lord, I guess my prayer today is that we will never take those blessings for granted. That when we have this attitude of entitlement, that's the same as ingratitude. So Lord, help us to be appreciative of who you are and what you do. Lord, use me in a way that will be helpful and encouraging and challenging to those who are here. That when we do have that tendency to complain or not appreciate what we have, or we focus more on what we don't have as opposed to what we do have, that you'll help us to have the right attitude. Thank you, Father, for your word which teaches us these truths. Give us your wisdom and understanding as we study just a portion of that truth, and we will give you all the praise. In the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus, amen. I want to answer just two questions this morning. They're very easy questions. Not quite as easy to answer, but let's look at the first one. How does God view the sin of ingratitude? Well, let's look in Romans chapter 1. I want to pick it up in verse 18, where the Apostle Paul is addressing the Roman church and certainly us as well today. And he says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." The Bible speaks to us in many places about what has been described, as Paul says here, as the wrath of God, the anger of God. We don't like to talk about that much. We don't like to think about God's wrath very much, but it's a reality. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, "God is a righteous judge and a God who shows indignation," in the New American Standard, or wrath. And he shows it every day. Did you catch that? God expresses his wrath every day. Psalm 38, 1 says, "Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath and do not punish me in your burning anger." So the question is, why does God get angry at times? Because he is righteous and we are not. Because he is holy and we are not. We cannot even begin to imagine how holy he is. Therefore, we must first understand that God is a God of wrath, that he does get angry because of sin. Many times, our human anger is not justified. God's always is. Many times we get mad just because we didn't get what we wanted, or things didn't go the way we wanted. But when God gets angry, it's because he is a just, holy, pure, and righteous God. You can be sure that when God gets angry, it's always warranted, always justified, and always correct. I mean, I want you to think about this for a moment. It's amazing to me. We read about God creating Adam and Eve in Genesis, early part of Genesis. And it was great. But it didn't take very long for people to slide down this hill of sin to the point The Bible says their thoughts were only evil continually. God was so grieved and irritated, he wanted to wipe out the greatest creation from the earth. I want to read about that in Genesis 6, beginning verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. So the Lord was sorry that he had made mankind on the earth and was grieved in his heart. Then the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind whom I've created from the face of the land, mankind and animals as well, and crawling things and birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you grateful for that? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The point is that God's wrath has been revealed at times throughout history and will continue to be revealed. But here's what I want you to remember today. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love will always give us a chance to escape his eternal wrath. Can you say amen to that? He will always give us that, at least till Jesus comes back. We still have that chance to escape his eternal wrath. Now let's get back to our text here. Romans 1 verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Paul says, God's invisible qualities have been seen or perceived. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God exists, that he is all powerful, that he is our all-wise creator. You say, well, how do I know that? Look at the stars. Look at the earth and all of its wonders. Look at plant and animal life. Look at the life that was created in his image. That's every single human being that's ever lived. And you can see there's a powerful force behind it all. And this force is God. It's not called Mother Nature. It's not called evolution. When we recognize God for who he is, we should be thankful to him. In fact, psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude or thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Selye was the father of stress studies. And in his research, he concluded that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. And I believe God appreciates our thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God will draw us closer to him. But if we are not grateful and we do not express our thanksgiving, it can have the opposite effect. And that's what Paul says in verses 21 and 22 of Romans 1. He writes, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their reasonings and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Why? They did not honor God, nor did they give him thanks. How can anyone who knows God not be thankful to him? I read a story, actually I found this in a conservative magazine, it's been a few years ago. And it was kind of a cartoon that pictured a young couple walking down the street. And the young man says to his wife, he says, I'm going over to pick up my unemployment check. After that, I'll pick up our food stamps. You go over to the free clinic and check on your test results and then go to the welfare department and apply for an increase in our eligibility limit. And then I'll meet you downtown at the federal building at 5 o'clock for the big demonstration we're going to put on against this rotten government of ours. How foolish it is not to be thankful to the God who created us, sustains us, and saves us. It's biting the hand that feeds you. It's slapping the face that saves you. And yet it happens, and it happens far too often. It has been said you cannot be grateful for something you feel entitled to. Paul's logic here is very clear. If we take all the blessings we have for granted, our hearts will turn away from God. More and more people today have this entitlement attitude that we are owed what we have. And that's nothing more than pride or egotism, a mentality that will ultimately separate us from God. It was Henry Ward Beecher who said, quote, A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves, unquote. I know we've all had difficult times in life, but if we just really stop and think all that God has done for us, we'll find it's good to be alive, it's good to be serving Jesus, and it's good to give thanks. So let's recognize that God does get angry when we have this attitude of entitlement, which is actually the sin of ingratitude. And since that's true, the second question to ask and answer today is this: how can we develop a heart of gratitude? Have this spirit of thanksgiving. Well, number one, I think we can remember how much gratitude pleases God. It's what he wants for his people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the trumpeters and singers of Israel were gathered together in a celebration service in the temple, and they were giving praise and thanksgiving to God. And I want to read two verses, 2 Chronicles 5, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they raised their voices, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other musical instruments, and when they praised the Lord, saying, he indeed is good, for his kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not rise to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. God's presence came to the temple in response to the thanksgiving and praise that was flowing from it. God loved to hear the praise from the temple, and so he drew near. Can I offer to you this fact that's still true today? God loves to hear our thanksgiving and praise as we recognize him for who he is and what he does. It pleases him. And we should want to do what pleases God. Our English words thank and think come from the same root word, meaning to consider. How many times do we get so busy in life that we fail to take the time to consider the blessings that God brings in our lives? Many years ago, many of you probably remember this, Coca-Cola has had different slogans through the years. One of them was this: Coke, the pause that refreshes. Everybody remember that one? Coke, the pause that refreshes. Taking time to pause and consider our blessings puts our lives in perspective and brings some refreshing to us. Paul had the attitude part right when he said in Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12, he wrote, not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. So how can we develop a heart of gratitude? Well, first, remember how much gratitude pleases God. Second, avoid grumbling or complaining at all costs. Boy, that's hard. Complaining is one of, if not the biggest barrier to gratitude. And I think we just need to learn to catch ourselves when we complain and stop it right away. Numbers 11:1 is one of my favorite verses that teach us how God feels about complaining. The children of Israel were complaining. And the Bible says that the Israelites complained of adversity in the ears of the Lord. The Lord heard them, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Why? Because they were complaining. We need to avoid that like a plague, because God hates it and it ruins our spiritual lives. Would you make a commitment? And I was challenged this week. Would you make a commitment with me that we're going to cut out complaining and replace it with praising? Praising God. One preacher has told me, he's told me this more than once, that whenever he starts complaining, his wife always seems to notice, and she says to him, Would you like some cheese with your wine? And he says, every time she says that, he realizes he needs to stop griping and grumbling. I don't know, maybe we need to employ wives, husbands, or friends to help us stop this bad habit. Avoid complaining at all costs. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 14, do all things without complaining or argument so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. When we complain, we begin to create this ever-growing negative environment, which is not the kind of momentum that God wants to see in any church. Not only that, but complaining damages our influence and our witness. Who wants to be part of a church community that's critical, joyless, and constantly complaining? Christian psychologist Dr. Paul Faulkner asked this question: are you a bucket filler or a bucket spiller? And then he admits, he says, some days I go around just kicking over every bucket I can find, and when I think back on it, it's usually because someone or something has kicked my bucket over. Negativity spreads, and pretty soon everyone's kicking over buckets. But God calls us to carry around pitchers to pour into the lives of people around us, not kick over buckets. I wonder if the world looks at Christians as bucket spillers instead of bucket fillers. All people know what we're against, but do they know what we're for? They don't see us walking around with the grace of Jesus Christ. I came across an illustration some time back and I thought it would be appropriate to use at this time. It's simply called, what if? Just consider this for a moment. What if God didn't take the time to bless us today because we didn't take the time to thank him yesterday? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God took away the Bible tomorrow because we would not read it today? What if the door of the church was closed because we did not open the door of our heart? What if God would not hear us today because we would not listen to him yesterday? And finally, what if God met our needs the way we meet the needs of others? It is simply the height of ingratitude and irreverence to complain. I want you to understand something in the Bible, that when the children of Israel were not allowed to enter to the promised land, the Bible lists reasons for that. And one of the primary reasons listed, along with idolatry and sexual immorality, was complaining. Right there alongside of it. Life is too short to be a constant complainer. So let's do our best to remember how much gratitude pleases God and to avoid grumbling or complaining at all costs. Now here's how I want to end today. I want to give you four more suggestions, very briefly. It's going to take very long. And the reason I'm doing this is because we don't usually consider these as ways to develop an attitude of gratitude. Four more things, real quick. Number one, be thankful when you don't know something. That gives you the opportunity to learn. If I had a dollar for every time I had to answer a question I don't know, I'd be rich. I would. And I don't know how many times people ask me Bible questions, and I've had to say, well, I don't know. I'll find that out. That's a good thing. If you're asked a Bible question as you don't know, if it motivates you to find out, that's a good thing. Second, be thankful for the difficult times. That is when you grow stronger in your faith, because that's the purpose that God gives for allowing those trials and difficult times in your life. Irma Bombeck was an author, columnist, humorist. She went through a time in her life when, due to breast cancer and her own fear of death, it was difficult for her to find things about which she could express humor through her writings. And yet, Irma Bombeck determined to stay the course through these times of pain and fear. And here's what she wrote, and I quote, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today with breast cancer, Every time I forget to feel grateful to be among them, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old girl named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. Now they were taking treatments together. She said, I was present when she was asked what she wanted for her birthday. And she thought long and she thought hard. And finally she said, I just don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. And then Bombeck says, that kid was right. Number 3, be thankful for your limitations. They will give you opportunities for improvement. We all have limitations in many areas of life. That's okay. We need to keep improving and recognizing our limitations, which will help us keep improving. And then finally, be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Every mistake we make is an opportunity to learn and grow. We do not normally think of any of these 4 situations I just mentioned as ones in which we can give thanks, but they are. God works in mysterious ways in our lives. No matter what the situation, God brings His grace and His mercy to help us, wrapped up in His unconditional love. Being thankful will pull us out of despair and depression and bring us to have this attitude of gratitude that we all need to have. I just think it's a good time of the year to be thankful. Thanksgiving is the appropriate response of those whose daily experience is shaped by the recognition that we stand in debt to God and that our very lives are a gift from God. And we can praise Him for that. When it comes to having the proper focus, John F. Kennedy had it right in his inaugural address as president in 1961. You've heard this before. Probably his most famous speech, or at least line of any speech that he made. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Perhaps we should wake up in the morning and pray, dear Lord, is there anything I can do for you today? May God have mercy on us and help us to become a people of gratitude, a people who constantly thank Him every single day.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.